Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We are injury attorneys. This is an injury show. We do it all the time. We're glad to do it for you. Today, we're talking about medical treatment. But first, before we get to medical treatment and the ins and outs and how insurance companies attack your medical treatment if you're injured in a car crash, remember our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Our telephone number is 303-795-5900. We have years of experience, over 35 years of experience. Put our experience to work for you. You've been injured in a car crash, a bike crash, a big rig, truck crash. They have special rules and regulations. You need to know about them. You need to be protected. Your family needs to be protected. Just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, and you can contact us, you can fill out our forms, or you can just give us a call, 303-795-5900. And the neat thing about our website, championsofthepeople.com, is that you can go there from the comfort of your laptop, your iPad, your mini iPad, your phone. You can do it right now on your phone if you want to, right? Your desktop, if you're still one of those people that have an old-fashioned desktop, go for it. championsofthepeople.com. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We have offices in Denver and Steamboat Springs, and we do cases all over the state of Colorado and have for years. We do injury cases all over the state of Colorado. All right, all kinds. If you want any of our books, they're free, are on our website, championsofthepeople.com. We have 10 books there. Just you can download an e-copy free anytime you want. How cool is that? Different injury subjects. And if you want a hard copy, all you have to do is call us or contact us at 303-795-5900, and we'd be glad to send them to you, give you a hard copy. You can drop by our law firm and pick it up. Okay, you're injured in a car crash, and you're injured, and you need medical treatment. Listen, we're going to educate you today. The medical treatment is just not medical treatment. It's just not medical treatment. Insurance companies have a certain way to attack your medical treatment because their goal is to not pay you. Their goal is to reduce or mitigate the payout they're going to make to you as the injured victim. Their goal is to protect the person who hits you. They have no duty or obligation to you, the injured victim. They do have a duty and obligation to the person who rear-ended you, for example, or T-boned you, or came across the center lane and had a head-on collision or partial head-on collision, right? Their job is not to protect you, and that's one of the biggest myths in this business. The myth, there's insurance. That's what insurance is for. I thought that's what insurance was for. Surely they're going to pay. Surely they're going to fight you, and we're going to educate you today. We do it every week on Car Accidents 101. Today we're talking about Car Accidents 101, Part 6. Treatment, medical treatment. All right, so Brad, let's start at the emergency room. You're rear-ended. You're going to take the ambulance. We've taught everybody that you can use your MedPay for the ambulance. You can use your MedPay on your own car insurance, probably for the medical bills in the emergency room. But you get there, and eventually the insurance company and their lawyers are going to get to look at the emergency room records. And how do they try to attack those?
Well, I used to, in my naive state when I first started out in this practice, think that the insurance companies and the defense attorneys and the people against my client, representing a person who, through their own negligence in some form or another, rammed into my client or caused a crash, or through their own inappropriate deeds, maybe they were drunk driving, maybe they were doing something else, who knows, they rammed into my client. I used to think, and like I said, in my naive days, that was a no-brainer, that the medical treatment at the scene and taking them to the hospital, or people going to the hospital and getting an initial checkup, that they're... clearly the responsible party would pay for that, or their insurance company would pay for that. I mean, that's why the responsible party has to have insurance. That's why the insurance company exists. That's why the emergency rooms and the medical facilities exist. And the person has just been a victim of a crash. But, you know, what you find out is that you have a whole lot of greed going the other way and money concerns going the other way, so that now all of a sudden you have insurance companies who try to find a way to avoid paying for that. And you find doctors, medical doctors, who are hired on as experts for the insurance company, who get paid seven-figure pays, paydays per year quite often for the multiple cases they do. And you find attorneys who work for the defense that don't want to pay for that. Instead, they start trying to find another excuse. Now, you know, you get a person that gets in a car and they're going to work. And they're driving to work, and it seems like a pretty simple thing that they're going to get to work, they're going to do a full day, and maybe afterwards they've got something scheduled to pick up the kids and go somewhere and maybe go to dinner with the spouse or come back home and watch TV or maybe go to an Avs game or a Nuggets game, or they've got something scheduled. And that schedule is there, and that's what they're planning on doing. Or they go to a meeting during the day and they get to the meeting and they plan on getting back home and they're just going to get in the car and go back home afterwards after that meeting. And that meeting gets cut short because somebody runs a stoplight. And when they run that stoplight, they ram into that person that thought they were going to be going home or thought they were going to be going out on a date that night or thought they were going to be spending the time with their kids that night. They instead are in a crash because somebody ran a stoplight, and now they're going to the hospital instead. And they're going to the hospital after an ambulance has come and treated them, or maybe an ambulance didn't get there, but they're going to the hospital to deal with this pain. And it's going to create medical bills. And what do you get from quite often, not all the time, it's not 100%, but what do you get quite often from adjusters and defense lawyers? Oh, well, they were hurt before the crash, and they had this pre-existing condition, and so that medical bill shouldn't count because they would have had that medical bill anyway, or they would have had that medical charge, or they would have had that problem. And sometimes it's not as blunt as them just saying, well, you know, going to the emergency room, but other times it is. They're saying, well, you didn't need to go to the emergency room, or you already had this injury, and you were just waiting for a car crash to occur, and so we could run you off to, so you could run off to an emergency room. Or, you know, for some reason, they try to blame it on something else. Or they try and say, well, you're phony. You weren't really hurt. And there's no way the mechanism of injury, that's their favorite saying they have, there's no way the mechanism of injury could have hurt you because from how this crash happened, and we know that really you just wanted to go in an ambulance to a hospital and be treated at the hospital all night and spend your next 6 hours, 7 hours in the hospital room waiting to be treated or being treated while they're running tests. Because we know that's what you had as your goal that night rather than spending the time with your family or spending the time doing your activities.
Exactly. So when you go to the emergency room, they attack that. They attack your medical treatment, and we're educating you today on that. We educate and advocate at Bell & Pollock. Our website is championsofthepeople.com. I'm Gary Bell along with Brad Pollock. Law firm Bell & Pollock, 303-795-5900. Let's go back to the scene of the emergency room. You're in the emergency room. You've been in a car crash. And Brad just set the stage just perfectly. You don't want to be there, obviously. And so you're forced to be there because you got injured in this crash and the ambulance brought you in to the emergency room. You know, sometimes, well, all the times the insurance company look at these records. But let's say you go to the emergency room, and God bless these doctors. I mean, they're doing the best job. They're there to save your life. And we're going to tell you something in the latter part of this show. This podcast is probably going to make you fall off your chair or fall off your seat or fall down. I mean, what we're going to tell you about those doctors and how insurance companies attack them and attack your treating doctor, we'll cover that in just a minute. But you get to the emergency room, And let's say you got injuries. They assess whether you're bleeding or not, bleeding externally, bleeding internally, whether you have a broken bone. So here's one thing that you're never going to fall for, and this is what insurance companies love to do. You went to the emergency room. They treated you there. They discharged you, and eventually the insurance company for the at-fault party gets your medical records because we give them to them in the appropriate way with everything protected that can be protected. But they get the records. They get to look at the emergency room records. So here's what they say. And after we educate you on this, you're never going to fall for this again. They say, Brad, you had an x-ray of your neck, but it showed normal. You had an x-ray of your neck, and it showed no fractures. And it had no transverse processes fractures, no fractures of any kind or nature whatsoever. Right? You had an MRI of your low back in the emergency room, and it shows normal. And in doctor talk, it's, quote, unremarkable, end quote, meaning normal. And you had a CT scan of your head because the doctors think you might have suffered an internal concussion, and you might have suffered a post-concussion syndrome, and you might have suffered a TBI, traumatic brain injury, and they want to make sure that there's no subarachnoid hemorrhage or brain bleed. So they do a CT scan of your head, and it comes back what? Normal. Do not ever, on your injury claim, ever let an insurance company tell you or say, well, you went to the hospital, you went to the emergency room, your neck x-ray was normal, your head CT scan was normal, and your MRI of your low back L4, L5, maybe S1 was normal, therefore you're not hurt, Brad, and therefore we're not going to pay you. And they do this all the time. You can be very seriously injured and have, quote, normal x-rays, quote, normal CT scan, and, quote, normal MRIs, period. They do it, and that's their method of attack. One method. We're teaching about it today. This deals with your treatment. We're talking about medical treatment from a car accident, a car crash. You're listening to Car Accidents 101. Right, we break it down. This is part six. Part six, when we're talking about your medical treatment, and we're teaching how insurance companies attack your medical treatment. So, Brad, how do we approach this when they say all your films are normal, it was unremarkable, you don't have any fractured bones, you don't have any broken bones? How do we approach this with our clients?
Well, the first thing you want to approach is you want to approach from the client and let them understand that there's limitations to what any machinery that's out there can see inside your body and can see what's causing pain. Machines can't see pain, period. They see defective parts of the body. They don't see all of them. Quite often things are missed or the angle's not right or even the machinery or the test is not set to really see what's actually wrong with you or what your injury is. And it what happens is you're still in pain. And, MRIs and CT scans and x-rays can miss what's causing the pain. It doesn't mean you're not in pain. What it means is they didn't see it. You know, well, once upon a time, we go back 30, 40 years or so, all they could do is take an x-ray. And then they couldn't see what a CT scan shows. And then all they could do is an x-ray and a CT scan. Then they couldn't see what an MRI shows. But what they learned is every time they got a more sophisticated machine, they learned that there was something wrong with the body where people would say they had pain, to really prove and verify the person wasn't faking it. It was just that the machine didn't find it and didn't show it. And that's the same thing we face today. And for anybody who thinks, you will hear it from the other side, but anybody who thinks, well, now, you know, we have such sophisticated machinery that everything can be picked up and everything can be seen, well, that's not true. And the bottom line is you can even miss the angle. I mean, I've had cases where people have had cracked ribs or broken ribs, and they've gone to the hospital for the pain, and they take x-rays and MRIs and of the ribs, and what they come back with is saying, well, we don't see anything wrong with you. Well, that's because they got the wrong angle, and because they didn't get the right angle, they didn't see where the cracked ribs were. They didn't see the result, and then they, you know, wait a week and come back and say, I'm not getting any better, and please don't put me in that physical therapy, because they want me to do all these exercises that are so painful, and this can't, you know, I don't know if this is a soft tissue injury matter or not, or a muscular problem that physical therapy can address, and then they say, well, let's do another x-ray, or another MRI, or another CT scan from another angle, or from different lateral views, and all of a sudden they look and they say, oh, you've been living all this time with cracked ribs, or you've been living all this time with a broken bone, and you don't even know it. And then that comes out, and then the defense always wants to say, well, you did something during those 10 days between the day of the crash and between the second MRI to cause those cracked ribs, even though you got a history of being in pain, you did something that caused those cracked ribs that we couldn't have, it can't be our responsibility.
Exactly.
Can't be something we did.
And we're teaching you how insurance companies attack your injury claim, and today we're talking about treatment. This is part 6 of Car Accidents 101. You can follow it on our website. We have part 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There, all you have to do is go to our homepage of championsofthepeople.com, click on Car Accidents 101, and it will take you right to the page where you have part one. Part one was fascinating, and you can go back and listen to these and read the checklist that you have, and you can read it and listen to it, and you should. Like part one was what do you need to do right now before an accident happens to protect yourself and your family? So we're not going to redo that show, but that was part one. Part two was, what do you do at the scene of a car crash? Part three was, what do you do in the first 2 days after a car crash? Right? So we broke this down into parts. Today we're talking about part six, your medical treatments. What have we taught you so far? Number one, the myth is, well, there's insurance. Surely, because there's insurance, somebody's going to pay me. I'm the injured victim. I didn't do anything wrong. Well, surely they're not. That's one thing we've taught you. The next thing we taught you, if you go to the emergency room, MedPay on your own car insurance policy can pay for your ambulance, can pay for the emergency room, because a lot of people said, I want to get an ambulance, it's going to cost a lot of money, it's going to cost me money, so we've taught you that. What else have we taught you? We taught you that when you go to the emergency room, I mean, those doctors are good doctors. Come on. And again, we're going to tell you something in a minute, it's going to make you fall off your chair, but you go to the emergency room and they give you an x-ray, it's normal. That doesn't mean you're not injured. They give you an MRI that's normal. That doesn't mean you're not injured. They give you a CT scan of your head. It's normal. It does not mean you're not injured. The resolution of those tests, as Brad pointed out aptly, is not sufficient to read everything in your body. And I'm going to give you an example right now. Facet joint syndrome, facet joint injuries do not show up on film. Facet joint injuries. And you know, another thing I want to teach you right now is a question we love to ask defense doctors. We love this question. They say the x-ray was normal, the MRI was normal, and the question is, well, doctor, do x-rays image pain? What? Mr. Bell, Mr. Pollock, what was your question? Do x-rays and MRI scans, do they image pain? Can you see pain on them? And the answer is always universally no. But the patient has pain. And you said the x-ray is normal. So they can have a pain with a normal x-ray? Yes, I guess so. Yes. They can have pain with a normal MRI? Yes. They can have pain with a normal CT scan? Correct. They can have a concussion with a normal CT scan? Correct. So now we've taught you that. We taught you how they attack those. How do they try to attack them? And then, Brad, let's talk about one other thing, because I want everybody to think about this. You're in an ambulance. Come on, this is traumatic. I mean, your whole evening was disrupted. Your life may be disrupted, right? You've been run into. You've been rear-ended. You knocked across the intersection. You hit a light pole. Or you hit another car. And they're going in there. And, Brad, one of their favorite ways to attack the emergency room is, well, when you were in the EMT, the ambulance, and when you were in the emergency room, you didn't tell them about pains or problems you were having in certain parts of your body. You didn't tell them about you had knee pain. Well, of course I didn't. That wasn't the main thing that was hurting me. The main thing that was I was worried about was my neck and my spinal cord. Let's talk about that a bit, Brad, because they go into the emergency room, and it's traumatic. And, you know, you don't have a checklist going through your mind. Let's say, number one, I got a sore knee. Number two, I got a sore left ankle. Number three, you don't do that. You're concentrating, and the doctors are concentrating on the most prevalent, important thing to save your life.
Well, it's pretty common out there to understand that if you can get people to listen to it, that pain is going to divert your attention to where the pain is. And where you have the most pain, that's where you're going to have your attention diverted. So if your head it hits the side window because you were on a side impact and the airbag didn't go off or didn't keep you from hitting your head, and you have a big knot on your head and your neck is hurting from having hit the airbag and then into the door, and you got a big you got a bunch of pain to your neck and to your head, you may not notice that pain in your back that is also there because you were hit at an angle and it caused you to take a blow, or caused your body to be thrown in an angular way that also caused some pain to your back. Or you may notice it, but that may not be the primary concern. Primary concern is what's going to happen with respect to this pain and this big problem I've got in my head, and I'm bleeding from it, and I hit the side of the car, and I'm having trouble thinking, and we're trying to shore up the blood, and we might have to take some stitches, but we want to get some MRIs, we want to get some other things that we need to look at, and it's quite often you're going to have secondary pain in certain things that have happened. The problem is when you have that secondary pain, once again, if you don't mention it, or if it wasn't identified, then the first thing the defense attorneys or the defense doctors or the adjusters want to say is, well, you didn't say that at the emergency room. You didn't bring that up at all. Or, it took you a week or 10 days before you brought up that pain and before you mentioned it. Well, yes, I did. But in the meantime, I was trying to deal with these other problems that occurred from the accident, which are problems such as the big problem on my head, and the continued headaches I'm having, and the fact that I can't think straight, and the fact that I'm having a lot of problems maybe visualizing a little bit because I've got some problems with my sight. And they say, well, there's no reason why you shouldn't have named everything. You shouldn't have gotten everything. I mean, to them, all the pain and all the injury and all the problems should surface within, 30 minutes to an hour of the crash.
Right.
And they should all be related or told to the doctors or ambulance people within another 30 minutes. And if you've ever had those problems for up to 5 or 10 years prior to the crash, then these aren't really problems that were caused by the crash, even if you've gone years without having the problems, because you had them before. And so it's just those resurfacing from a prior situation in your life. And in the end, you probably didn't need any treatment for it.
That's what they say, and there's ways to fight it. You're listening to Gary Bell, Brad Pollack. Our law firm is Bell and Pollack. We have offices in Denver and Steamboat Springs. We do injury cases all over the state of Colorado, and we have for years. You can call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Or you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Today, you were talking about your medical treatment, and we're specifically talking about medical treatment inside the emergency room and in the ambulance, and how they get attacked, and how the insurance companies attack it. So if you know how they're going to attack it, then you can attack, and you can win legitimately. We're not talking about making anything up. We never do. What we are talking about is legitimately protecting the interests of yourself, the injured victim, your family, because injuries impact families. They impact the whole family structure, and we are talking about protecting you. We are talking about how you present your claim. Listen, and we're now to the part where I'm going to tell you, I think you're going to fall off your chair. Sometimes insurance companies say, well, you were in the emergency room for 9.5 hours. And I've had a couple of clients that been there overnight, but they don't sleep because they're getting tests every 30 minutes or 20 minutes. They don't sleep. It's not a comfortable vacation. It's overnight in the emergency room, and the emergency room bill turns out to be $30,000, $25,000. Now, the insurance company for the at-fault party has to face that. They don't want to pay that. They don't want to pay you. And so what do they say? One of the things they say is that your emergency room treatment, are you ready for this? These good, honest men and women, doctors, nurses, the insurance company says the emergency room treatment was not reasonable and not necessary. Wow.
Oh,
Brad, let's go with that one.
But look how they'll crucify you if you, as the injured person, get up from out of that emergency room and say, well, I don't think this is reasonable and necessary. I know you're telling me I should stay here with this IV in me, and while you run enough tests and while you do your x-rays and waiting to get into the MRI so we can get an MRI. But I don't think that's really reasonable and necessary. So I'm going to rip this IV out of my arm. I'm going to take this blood pressure thing off my arm. I'm going to get my clothes back on. And I'm going to take this little thing you got on my finger that's measuring my heartbeat. I'm going to take that off. And I'm just going to walk out of this emergency room. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch, I don't know, Gunsmoke?
Gunsmoke.
Whatever the show is.
Wow, what the?
You know, people know how old I am now.
Yeah, right,
I brought
sure
up Gunsmoke.
Exactly.
You know, but that's what they're going to do. Because that's you. Should not have been there. That was not reasonable and necessary. There was no reason for you to run out of that bill. We're not going to pay it because we ran into you and put you in that hospital. We know you were going to meet friends at the movie and go to the movies, but you missed out on that. But the bottom line is you were going to miss out on it anyway, because even if we didn't hit you, you were going to have these problems.
Right. So we've taught you that. We've taught you about reporting symptoms. We've taught you about it doesn't have to show up on an x-ray, an MRI, or a CT scan. We've taught you about certain things are not visible on the resolution of those films. And they know that they're real. And they know you still have pain. And you cannot image pain. Pain doesn't show up on an x-ray. Pain doesn't show up on an MRI. Pain doesn't show up on a CT scan. Okay, you can even have a concussion. And most people have a concussion without a subarachnoid hemorrhage, without brain bleed. And so that test comes out normal. That does not mean you're not injured. But you need good injury attorneys to help you and understand the medicine. Present your claim. Win your claim. That's Bell and Pollock, 303-795-5900. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we are injury attorneys. We've done cases all over the state of Colorado for over 35 years, four corners of the state and in between. You can call us at 303-795-5900. And the last thing we taught you today was the fact that they sometimes say your emergency room bill was not reasonable and not necessary. Can you imagine? You know, sometimes when we take the deposition of the defense doctors hired by the insurance companies, and some of these doctors make seven figures a year per company testifying against injured people. Can you imagine? Our questions to them might go something like this. Well, Mr. Insurance Doctor, yes. Are you saying that the doctors in the emergency room did something that was not necessary? Oh, no. I'm saying, well, no, it's in your report. Are you saying the doctors in the emergency room did something that was not reasonable? Oh, no, not really. No, it's in your report, sir. You say the charges of $30,000, $11,000, $4,000 were not reasonable and necessary. Well, if the charges aren't reasonable and necessary, you're saying the doctors did something that was not necessary. You're saying the doctors did something that was not reasonable. And, Brad, what is always their answer to this?
They always say, well, you know, the doctors did what they thought that was necessary at the time. We don't agree with what they did, but we can't say it goes to the element of malpractice.
But we're not going to pay you because we don't think it's reasonable and necessary. Okay, you're listening to Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Today, we were talking about car accidents 101, Part 6. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can see parts 1, 2. Listen, we're educating you. At Bell and Pollock, we educate and advocate. We're breaking down car crashes for you. That's the beauty of Car Accidents 101. That's the beauty of our podcasts. That's the beauty of our shows that cover car accidents. It's like 101, you know, economics 101, accounting 101, car accidents 101. We are teaching you so you can protect yourself. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. Our phone number, 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. Champions of the People. We will see you next week.